thank you, Lord, that you are near. You're closer than a brother. And we thank you, Lord, that you are here to speak into our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we are ready for your heart, for your word to enter into our hearts from your heart. Confirm it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome everybody to the house of the Lord this morning, and we welcome those who are watching online. I know that the Lord has a word for you and me today. I want us to open your Bible to Luke chapter 1, the 20th verse. Luke chapter 1, verse 20. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Luke chapter 1, verse 57 to 64. Verse 57 to 64. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah, after their father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. Now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 18 to verse 26. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 18 to verse 26. When the child had grown, he went out one day to his father among the reapers. And he said to his father, "Oh, my head, my head." The father said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had lifted him and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again." And he said, "Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." She said, "All is well." Then she saddled the donkey, and she said to her servant, "Urge the animal on. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Look, there is the Shunammite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, 'Is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? is all well with the child? And she answered, all is well. Someone say, all is well. I want to share with you this morning a message which is built on last week's message, which was first things. And this week I want to share with you on the message, first words. First words. Spoken words are very important. And first words that are spoken are extremely important. First words that are spoken are extremely important. Zechariah lost his ability to speak because he doubted what God said about him having a son in his old age. God had to suspend his ability to speak because his first words revealed his unbelief and that he would abort God's plan with his own mouth. And so he was silent and could not speak for the entire duration of the pregnancy. Traditionally, the father names the child. But Zechariah forfeited his right to name his child to his wife Elizabeth. His first words, someone say first words. His first words were negative. And he questioned God. And now, after the pregnancy, his first words after God had dealt with him was, no, he shall be called John. Someone say first words. The Shunammite woman that we have read about, whose child had died, made sure that the first words she spoke to her husband and to the prophet, where all is well. And that was the key to her miracle. Someone say first words. When the father of the child, inquired what's going on, it's not the Sabbath, it's not the end of the month, all of these things, there's no feast. She said, it is well. Then she spoke other words to the servant about, let's go full speed to the prophet. And when the servant of the prophet came to the Shunammite woman to inquire, as the prophet saw her coming from a distance, to inquire, is it well with everything? Is everything okay? Her response was, it is well. All is well. First words. Let me give you some examples of significant first words. The Bible says, in the beginning, God's first words were, let there be light. And in the making of man, God's first words were, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Someone say first words. God's first words to man were, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. First words. God's first words after the fall of man were, Adam, where are you? And Adam's first words after the fall were, The woman you gave to me. So the first words a baby should hear after they're born should be the words of the parents. After every birth of the child of one of our children, and we have been blessed with five, and I had the privilege of being there in the birth of all five, after the baby was born and wrapped up, and given to them, to the mother, we welcomed the baby to the family. Welcome to the Gemeza family. We've been waiting for you. And your name is such and such. Someone say, first words. Extremely important. The first words of someone you are meeting for the first time will create most of your first impression about them. The rest will come from what they say non-verbally. It works both ways too, because they're also checking you out based on your first words and on your nonverbal language. And they're making their impression about you for the first time because of your words. What are the first words? What's the tone of the first words? What's the energy level of the first words? And so forth. So your destiny is greatly influenced by the first things you say, even in negative circumstances. Can I hear an amen? I want to say that again. Your destiny is greatly influenced by the first words, the first things you say, even in negative circumstances. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of your circumstances. Is that what it says? Death and life are in the power of your parents. Death and life are in the power of the economy. Death and life are in the power of the government. Death and life are in the power of the church. Death and life are in the power of the preacher. What does it say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, your tongue. And they that love it, or value it, realize it, shall eat the fruit of it. Shall eat the fruit of the tongue. So our destinies are not in the hands of men. And as much as our destinies are in the hands of God, but our destinies do not self-fulfill automatically without cooperation from us on the earth. I need to hear your loud amen. Amen. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Look at James chapter 3, verse 2 to 4. James chapter 3, verse 2 to 4. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, look at that. If any man does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. And that perfect man is able also to bridle his whole body. Wow. I need to pause there and chew on that. If any man, it says, if anyone does not stumble in his speaking, that man is mature. That person is grown up. Not is he only grown up, if he can control his tongue, he controls every part of his body. His entire body is under his control. His desires, his appetites, his moods, his emotions, his feelings, everything is under control if he can control this. If you want to know if a person is out of control, just listen. Listen to how they speak. If they are out of order here, they're out of order everywhere. If they have no control over their tongue, they have no control over their sexual appetite, they have no control over their emotions, they have no control over any area of their life. If they're out of control in the tongue, the Bible says it bridles the whole body. Now, a bridle is the thing that I used to, I went to riding school when I was young. And in riding school, obviously you've got the saddle. And then you've got the bridle. Now, there was a horse in, there were a couple of horses in the riding school. If you were not a good rider, you were a learner, you got to ride this horse named Russet. Russet, no matter what you did, Russet would never run. Okay? But Russet would walk. And Russet could canter. Cantering is between, there's walking, there's trotting, there's cantering, and there's galloping. Russet could canter a bit, but most of the time she would walk, she was a mare, or she would trot. It was easy to control Russet. It wasn't a big deal, because you got the reins, and those are the leather things that you control. They go into the horse's mouth, and there's a bit. And, you know, when you're controlling the horse, you got to pull it one way or the other. If you're going to stop, you got to pull both reins and all of that. And so it was easy to ride Russet. But then if you're really advanced, you got to ride Copper. Copper was a stallion. Copper was feisty. Copper was energetic. Copper wanted to gallop. And if you don't know how to ride Copper, I remember one guy in my school begged to ride Copper because he had been riding all these other horses and he wanted to ride Copper. And so the instructor said, okay, you can ride Copper today. Well, he got on to Copper. Copper will let you know, I'm ready to go. So when we were supposed to be trotting, Copper was pulling at the bit. Copper wanted to gallop. And before long, we had hardly left the stables, copper took off. And this poor student, some kind of 10-year-old, 12-year-old boy, started holding on for dear life because copper had taken off and started galloping in the field. And this guy was not ready for copper. He did not know how to control copper. He did not realize that in order, he's trying to shout, hey, hey, hey. His feet came out of the stirrups and he was falling off of the side. He was holding on to the horse and he could have fallen and all that. He was, and then there was, hey, pull the reins. Pull the reins. This is copper. Pull them tight. Control the horse. Fortunately, he didn't fall off. But somehow, just before he got to the hedge of the field, where copper was going to do what copper does, copper was going to run at full tilt towards that hedge and stop. And whoever was on top was going to go flying. And copper would walk back home, very satisfied, and he's the boss. Let me tell you, copper is your flesh. Copper needs control. If you don't know how to control your flesh, copper will take charge. And even the ones that were starting out were russet. Russet had a bad habit. That while she was a mare that was only willing to walk and trot, barely canter, she had a bad habit of just deciding she's going to pull aside and go for a bush and start eating. And so you had to learn, even with russet, that you control the bridle. And you want to pull that bridle and say, no, russet, we are going this way. And you've got your whip, you've got the stirrup, and you're going to give russet a little motivation to say, we're turning right now. And so what we're saying is that the tongue is the bridle. Your tongue will determine where you go. People say, well, I want to keep it real. Well, keep it real if you want. If you were to talk to the Shunammite woman and say, Shunammite woman, keep it real. Well, she would tell you, the child is dead. But she knew that if I say it, I am establishing it. I see the child is dead. That's why I'm running to the prophet. I don't have to say it for it to be true. It's true. But in order for it to change, I must speak the right words so that faith can work in my life to change the situation. I'm controlling the reins now. I am directing copper. Copper is saying, we're going for that fence. This child is dead. And she was saying, no, it is well. And because of her first words, God gave her a miracle. May God give you a miracle in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The power of life and death is in the tongue. So it's so easy for us to be taken over by our feelings and our emotions in the situation. And I know what I'm talking about. But some of us are responsible for the circumstances we find ourselves in.
Because we say, well, I just want to be real about it. And, you know, I'm just that kind of guy. You know, I'll just tell it like, well, tell it like it is. Zechariah told it like it is. He said, how can these things be? What? I'm an old man now. I've been barren all my life. Elizabeth's been barren. And you're going to tell me I'm going to have a child? And God said, okay. I see I'm not going to win you, so you are going to be quiet against your will because you're going to destroy what I want to do. It was only when the baby was born that his mouth and tongue were loosed and he was able to speak. And his first words were in alignment with what God said. He learned his lesson. Someone say, first words. Ooh, I know this is tight because this is when we have to check ourselves and not react to our circumstances, but respond to the circumstance. Even when Jesus saw the fig tree, this is very interesting, and he went there to find figs on the tree. Now, there's a very interesting scripture because the Bible says, and Jesus, not finding figs on it, and so forth. It says, and Jesus answered it. What? Jesus answered the fig tree and said, no man shall eat fruit from you ever again. Those were his first words. But it was an answer to what the fig tree was saying. You see, circumstances are saying something. The question is, what do you say? Someone said, I believe the report of the Lord. Oh, this year's going to be different. Hallelujah. I said, this year's going to be different. Glory to God. This year is going to be different. Glory to God. We are not going to set up our own defeat. There you are now, and somebody is starting to talk to you, and you expecting that someone will start talking to you, and you catch their attention, and maybe it might lead to, you know, then you start talking to your friends. Okay, tell us about this guy. He's okay. You know, he's, what do you think is happening? I don't know. You know, I've been through these things before. You know, it starts right, it ends wrong. Oh, you're done. You're done. You said it. Oh, I went for this interview. How did it go? I don't think I'll get it. Okay, you didn't get it. You're done. First words. So powerful. Someone say, help me, Lord. Because we've all been guilty here. Yes, we've all been guilty. Oh, I didn't finish this scripture. It says, if we put the bits into the mouths of the horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also is the tongue. Tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. And this is why God's first words are usually a blessing and a charge. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, this year shall be different, and it shall not go the way other years have gone. It shall go into the direction of greater glory. Hallelujah. If you receive that, then give God a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I receive that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Okay, let's go on. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. So
God's first words to Adam and Eve were, be fruitful. First words. And multiply. He blessed them. And said, be fruitful. Because first words are very, very important. Genesis chapter 9 verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons. Genesis 9 verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful. First words. And multiply. And replenish the earth. I decree that you are fruitful. I decree that you multiply. I decree in the beginning of this year that we're going to speak the right first words into this year in the mighty name of Jesus. I cancel the report of the devil in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I cancel that it shall be worse than any other year or 2024. I overturn that word. Because the Bible says the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Someone say it's going to be much better this year. Why? Because God said so. And because I agree with God. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know, if you notice in the epistles, I wondered for the longest time why the epistles, when Paul is writing to the churches and so forth, he always says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. His opening and first words are blessing, because God starts with a blessing. This year is blessed. Because God has spoken a blessing over it. It's your year of divine acceleration. He has blessed it already. And if God has blessed it already, no man can curse it. Glory to God. Balaam tried to curse what God had blessed. And instead of cursing what God had blessed, it turned around and became a blessing to the people of God. I decree that anybody that tries to curse you will cause a blessing to come upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus. You shall not be cursed, but you shall be blessed. You shall rise higher and higher in the mighty name of Jesus. Things shall shine brighter and brighter for you in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree, even if they come one way, they shall flee seven ways in the mighty name of Jesus, because you are blessed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Shout amen, somebody. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. So God first speaks words of blessing, and your mouth can either be the womb, or it can be the tomb of your destiny. Your mouth can be the womb, or it can be the tomb of your destiny. You know, one thing I've found about the enemy is smart, but he's not that powerful, although he has power. Powers to a small degree. The reason why the enemy is so victorious in so many ways is because he is good at helping of inspiring and deceiving us to destroy ourselves. He knows that he has no power to curse you. So he will create circumstances so that you can speak the words that will impact you, because the Sangoma cannot prevail. I said the Sangoma cannot. No Sangoma can prevail against a child of God. No divination. No witchcraft. Hallelujah. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. But if he can
confuse you enough, discourage you enough, work in your circumstances enough, so you speak the words of death. It's done. It's done. He doesn't have to do anything further. He makes us defeat ourselves. Oh, it won't work. Oh, it's happening again. You know, I knew this was going to happen. And so on and so forth. And that's what the enemy does. And then we think the devil did it. But the power of life and death is not with the devil. The power of life and death is in your... Come on, somebody. I hope I'm getting through to somebody here. Yes, the thief comes to steal and kill and to destroy, but we have authority over him. He said, whatsoever we bind, we shall bind. But the thing is that even though we've bound him, you can have a person, a prisoner bound, and they can be talking a lot. They can be big here and bound here. So the devil is big here and bound here. And what he's trying to do is to have you to work against you to defeat you. Someone say, never again. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare it, you shall never be your problem. I said, you shall never again be your own problem. In the mighty name of Jesus, you shall be the solution by God's grace of whatever it is that you're dealing with. Somebody give God praise right there. Lift up your hands just for a minute. Pray in the Holy Ghost because God wants to release some stuff in your life. Obre jike mesia como komaraka talagazike teteni masanda ombre beshia como homba gabagetene ne mesika paraba yaba shokomo kaya ombre sheke mendibo como robo gabagajenge betila katarasote ombre beshia hatana majaka ya masoko porahata ya ola la la baba baba shata na masoko morobo shate ya mahande beshia koporos. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Monga bareke terisa taloko marate brusi kinashtuko saya haya. In Jesus' mighty name. And so Zechariah's mouth was a tomb. But Elizabeth's mouth was a womb. The Shunammite decided that her mouth would be the womb, the birthing channel of that which was conceived, her faith, that she would release her faith through her mouth and decree what God said for the resurrection of the child. God's mouth is always a womb. Always. You know, I used to, when I started in the prophetic, I'm going to take a little rabbit trail here. When I started in the prophetic, you know, I came up in that school that was really not understanding the prophetic ministry. And I thought to myself, yeah, if it's God, it must be hard. Yeah, he must rebuke. Yeah, he must expose things. Yeah, people must tremble. If it's God, he must expose and he must rebuke things. But the more I followed the Holy Spirit, I found he was never taking me in that direction. And then I said, why, Lord? I mean, I'm trying to obey you, but what I'm prophesying, there's nobody being rebuked here. And the Holy Spirit showed me the Word of God. The word of prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's it. Edification, build you up. Exhortation, strengthen you. Comfort, console you. That's the purpose of the word of prophecy. Now, the word of God is profitable to correct and to rebuke. The word of God rebukes. But the prophetic gift is not for rebuking. It's very, very rare. Very rare, and has to be in the office of the prophet when God may make an exception to speak. But whenever he speaks, even if it's a rebuke, there is some form of hope and redemption in it. Yes. And so, why is this? It's because whenever God speaks, he speaks life. Because he knows if he says it, it's going to happen. And if he says, you're going to die and you're not going to live, then you're going to... Who can change what God said? So God does not speak like that. If you read your Bible, you will find that when God is speaking to somebody in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, it was a little bit different. In the New Testament, you'll find that it comes as a word to lift and to encourage, even if it is to guide. It's a word of life. Someone say, a word of life. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because God always speaks life. I speak life over your life. In the name of Jesus, I speak victory over your life. Take 2 minutes right now and speak life over your life. Life over your finances. Life over your relationships. Life over your business. Life over your health. Speak life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Online, speak life. Cancel death. In the mighty name of Jesus, cancel words of death. In the mighty name of Jesus, overturn them. Hexes and vexes and spells and incantations, we overturn, we overturn, we overturn. We overturn words of death, negative words of destruction, words of poverty, words of failure. We destroy them. We speak life. We speak words of life. We are birthing life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we're not walking by the flesh. We're not walking by sight. We are walking by the Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, someone shout life. Come on now. Someone shout life. In Jesus' name, now give God a hand of praise wherever you are. Jesus' mouth is always a womb. His words are spirit and their life. And the mouth of the Holy Spirit, as I've just said, always gives life. It's not a false thing when you hear prophets speaking positive things. God knows our sin. God knows our weaknesses. And if he keeps on speaking to them, they become more. So he speaks life. Says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Just like the prophetic word we just heard. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And you look around and say, where? It's because God calls those things that be not as though they were, because he's bringing it out of the spirit realm into your life. All he needs for you to do is to agree with your heart and believe and say amen. If you don't say amen, you've closed the womb. It becomes a tomb. Silent Christians are defeated Christians. I've never seen a victorious silent Christian. Never. Never. Because their mouth is a tomb. Because they won't speak what God said. They think they're too big. What's this amen business? I'm a big man. I'm a big shot.
Amen means I agree. I agree with what God said. I am agreeing with my mouth. Someone shout amen. Let me hear your loud amen. Hallelujah. These are not religious actions unless you make them religious. Glory to God, we're not here for a lecture. And you listen to the professor the whole day, trying to take notes, and then you just leave. And you've said nothing. That's a lecture. This is not a lecture. This is an interaction with God. Hallelujah. So, God has spoken his first words of life into 2025. Help me, Holy Spirit, keep moving. Now, when God speaks from heaven, there must be agreement on the earth for it to come into manifestation. Okay, let me break that down, because you've got to get this. Someone on earth must become his womb and speak what God has spoken in heaven for God's will to be birthed into manifestation on the earth. Let me break it down even further. God, when he made man, he said, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion. In other words, be in charge. Are we on the same page? Okay. So God put man in charge as far as the earth is concerned, not the devil. Remember, I told you how the devil works. He hijacks man and he rules through man. But God put man in charge on the earth, and God set an order. Someone say order. Okay, he put an order into place because God's a God of order, which meant that after man was created, if God wanted to do anything on the earth, he could only do it through man. Are you getting it? He could only do it through man because he delegated the authority to mankind as far as the earth is concerned. And so when God wants to do something in heaven and he releases a word from heaven to say, this is what I want to do, he must find somebody on the earth that will become his womb for the word, to conceive that word and to birth that word through speaking it. Now God has agreement on the earth. That's why the Bible says, surely the Lord does nothing except he reveals it first to the prophets. Did you hear that? God does nothing. God does nothing on the earth. That's why some people think, oh, there's no God, because they don't see God working. No, God is there, but he needs agreement on the earth. Someone who will take the word of God in their heart, conceive the word of God, become pregnant with the word of the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And carry that baby until full term. And then give birth to what God wanted on the earth. And if he finds no one to agree with him, he waits until he does. Because he's not going to break the order. So this is very, very powerful. Very, very important for us. And this is why prayer is so important. Because without prayer, God does nothing. He's all powerful in heaven. But here on the earth, he's even Jesus said, unless you bind it on earth, heaven can't bind it. He said, whatsoever you've got to do it.
because you have authority here in his name. You've got authority to cast that devil out. You've got the authority to say enough is enough. You've got the authority to say, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed coming. You've got the authority. He says, if you bind on earth, am I getting through to somebody? If you bind it, then he says, okay. Now I can bind it in heaven. But if you're snoring all through the day and in the spirit all through the night, and there's no binding, there's no praying, there's no agreeing, that's not your portion in Jesus' name. But if that would happen, then obviously nothing will happen. I decree and declare those days are over now in Jesus' name. So someone on earth must become God's womb. On Friday, if you were here, wow, God met with us in an incredible way, dealing with cleansing spiritual wounds, healing spiritual wounds, because some of us, oh God, God had to minister to us as a congregation, and if you didn't get the word, you need the word, so that our spiritual wounds can be cleansed and cleaned so that we can carry full term. Otherwise, we abort. We miscarry. We birth stillborns. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We experience early deaths of the things that God has promised us, and just when you think you're going to enjoy it, it dies. And that's because of a womb that does not carry the Word of God long enough to bring it to its maturity, so that through the mouth we can call those things that be not as though they were. And those things that God has said in heaven can happen on earth. It's going to happen for you. Tell your neighbor, it's going to happen for you. As a matter of fact, say them, it's already happened. Say to your other neighbor, my friend, it's already happened. If you've spoken it, it has already happened. If you believe that, shout amen and give God a praise. It's already happened. Hallelujah. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Glory to God. So, that's why Amos 3:7 and 8, this might help somebody. I'm going to move quickly and then we're going to try and get this thing to its conclusion with the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amos 3:7-8. Amos 3:7-8. For the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who shall not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? In other words, God has spoken from heaven, but nothing can happen on the earth until it comes through the mouth gate of somebody that has conceived that word. And God calls that prophecy, because prophecy can be creative. Not just predictive, it is also creative. Hallelujah. I decree that God is going to create new things in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are going to have new testimonies. Hallelujah. Your story is going to be a new story. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your life is going to turn towards a new direction for the glory of God. Shout amen. Praise the name of Jesus. So our part is to conceive the words that God has spoken. It's God's responsibility to bring the divine conception to birth in the fullness of time. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is so concerned because his reputation is on the line. Because you have said, this is what God is going to do. And if it doesn't happen, someone must take the blame. He is concerned about overdue births. Things that should have happened a long time ago and make God look like a liar. People are laughing at you coming to church, talking about Jesus, and they're ahead of you in life. And God's reputation is on the line. And the Bible says God will honor his name. I decree that God will honor his name in your life. He will honor his word in your life. He will vindicate himself in your life. This is the year when you shall see the divine vindication of the Lord, and you shall be able to rejoice, and those who have mocked you shall begin to respect you and recognize that your God is the God that must be served. Your God is mighty and powerful. In the mighty name of Jesus, they shall begin to look up to you and say, where is your God? I want your God. I laughed at you. I mocked you. I looked down at you as ignorant, as foolish. But now I see your God is alive. I decree this is that year for you. It is that year for this house. It is that year for you online. In the mighty name of Jesus. And God will clear his name in 2025. Someone shout amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God spoke to me these words. He said, it is time to deliver. In the mighty name of Jesus. Someone shout, it's my time to deliver. Woo! It's my time to deliver. I'm about to give birth. I've been carrying a long time. This baby is coming out. As a matter of fact, there are many babies. And they are coming out, multiple babies. Whoa! Come on, somebody receive that. It's not going to happen unless you receive it. It's not going to manifest until you put it in your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Until you shout amen, that's my portion. Glory to God. God said it's time to deliver. Woo! Yes, let's give your neighbor a high time and tell him it's your time. It's your time to deliver. It's your time to deliver. The waiting is over. The delay has ended. In the mighty name of Jesus, no more barrenness. No more abortions. No more miscarriages in the spirit. No more frustrations. In the name of Jesus, I declare it today. In Jesus' name, it's time to deliver. Woo! Oh, give God a praise. Clap your hands, all you people. I feel this. Something is pushing. Something is moving from God. The baby is moving. The baby is kicking. Oh, Labashataya. The baby is turning. I speak resurrection life to every stillborn. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak resurrection life to everything that died. I say, live! Live! I speak resurrection of things that should have happened a long time ago. These blessings shall overtake you. I decree there's a spirit of the overtaking blessing. I release the... Hey!
Oh, the spirit of the overtaking blessing, the accelerated blessing, oh, the blessing that catches up on you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Shout, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woo! Help me, Holy Ghost. My God, because you know it's time to deliver. When God leads you into a place of seclusion and isolation, I need to say that again. You know it's time to deliver. When God leads you into a place of seclusion and isolation, nah, Lord, because pregnancy is a private thing. And in the old days, when a woman got pregnant, she went into seclusion. Someone say seclusion. Yeah, a lot of people didn't know that she was pregnant. Her cousins didn't know that she was pregnant. Only her mother and her husband might know, maybe the mother-in-law. But she went into seclusion. Why? Because a pregnancy is private and confidential. Tell your neighbor, my pregnancy is private and confidential. Be careful about speaking out your baby before it's born. Yeah! Be careful who you share your dreams with, because it's private and confidential. If you expose the baby too early, you put it at risk. Some people will smile in your face and they will curse you behind your back. So keep your mouth quiet. Someone shout, this is private and confidential. I said it's time to give birth. When it's time to deliver, labor pains escalate and accelerate. What am I talking about? When it's time to deliver, there's discomfort. Can I talk? Can I hear an amen? There's discontent. Can I hear your amen? There's desperation. Can I hear your amen? I remember every baby that came into my family. There was a time when my wife would try to sleep on this side and she could not sleep. And she turned on the other side and she could not sleep. She was less restless. She was uncomfortable. She would get up and pace the floor. She didn't get better. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you're pregnant, nothing makes you comfortable. Nothing satisfies you. Nothing pacifies you. Except I want this baby out! Yes! I want this baby out! In the name of Jesus! I can't eat what I like. I have morning sickness. I can't sleep when I like. The baby keeps on kicking. I can't go where I like. I can't dress the way I like. The only solution is that this baby must come forth. Shout, yeah, somebody. Your baby is coming forth now. It's pushing. It's pushing. That baby is pushing. The contractions are getting stronger. Hallelujah. Very soon, your mourning shall turn into dancing. Your sorrow into joy. He shall give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Shout amen. Before I close, one more thing that happens when it's time to deliver. And that is when it's time to deliver, the midwives arrive. The midwives show up. Your help comes. Oh, I know somebody's help is coming. Angelic help. Yay! The angelic help is coming. Angels are coming. Angels are coming from heaven. Your help is coming. When the Messiah was born, angels showed up. I decree and declare, angels shall begin to show up in your home. They shall begin to show up in your business. They shall begin to show up on your job. They shall begin to show up in unexpected places. Give God a praise. I decree destiny help us. Destiny help us. Destiny help us. No one gives birth alone. No one should give birth alone. God is about to bring people into your life with an assignment from heaven to be midwives, to help you with the baby. I'm speaking mysteries now, to help you with your new season, with your new level, to learn how to breastfeed the child, how to burp the child, how to change the child's diaper, how to raise the child. Help is coming. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit said help is here. Woo! Ah, yeah. Help is here. Help has already arrived. That's how you know it's time to push now. Tell your neighbor, it's time to push. Oh, la bashaya. Imbebe kia moroshe. La 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 ba 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 ba. Roboste. How will you know? How will you know it's a midwife? Hear the word of the Lord. You will know it's your midwife by their first words. You'll know it's your midwife by their first words. Does it agree with what you have conceived? If it doesn't agree, they're not your midwife. But midwives have arrived. And I declare the things that God has caused to be conceived in your womb concerning your purpose are becoming a reality right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. I need to say that again, because I got this fresh off the wire. The things God has caused to be conceived in your womb concerning His purpose are becoming a reality from now. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. From now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. I decree your spiritual womb will conceive and give birth to living things from today. I decree your spiritual womb will never be a tomb again. In the mighty name of Jesus. From today, you will give full and timely birth to the purposes of God. I decree resurrection life upon things that have died in your life before. They shall rise again with resurrection life. In the mighty name of Jesus. I decree that never again will you see the death of anything you have conceived of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, I cancel death of every kind in your life.
in your finances, in your relationships, in your career, in your business, in your spiritual life. I cancel death in Jesus' name. Never again shall you bury a dream. Never again will you bury a hope. Never again will you bury a promise. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree that they rise again with accelerated passion. God is turning your graves into places of supernatural miracles of resurrection. And He's turning your mourning into dancing again. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands and praise Him. Lift up your hands and praise Him. Ulabashaya. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Ligeme shataya. Mongebe di bakomo kapaya. This is your birthing season. Legeshtaya. Lobongehetina. Rokopataye seke. Mangaba rohopotaya. Agree with God. Agree with God. Agree with the word. Don't abort. Don't miscarry. You are not going to abort it. You are not going to miscarry. And I cancel every spirit of natural miscarriages in this church. No more. I cancel the spirit of miscarriages and spontaneous abortions in this church. In the mighty name of Jesus, never, never again. Our natural womb shall carry full term. Full term. Full term. We shall not accept it. We shall not accept it. In the mighty name of Jesus, no more. Katomoshaya. Father, we worship. Worship team, come. Father, we worship. We honor you. We bless your holy name. There's an anointing here. The Holy Spirit said that this Sunday, we're going to see some incredible miracles and healings. If you're sick in your body, come right now. If you want to stand in proxy for somebody, come right now. Ilabashe ke petina makoporoshe. Umbageshe ki mananda. Robo shakaya vaha. No longer will you be sick. No longer. It's time for your healing. It's time for your healing. Your healing is here. Your healing is here. Shakomo rabaya. Lift up your hands, those of you here in the front. The prophet and I will lay hands upon you. Holy Spirit, lead the worship team. In the mighty name of Jesus. Anointing fall on me. Anointing.
The power of the Holy
Head bowed, new eye closed. The Holy Spirit is tugging at someone's heart right now to make this decision. This is the decision to give your life to Jesus. Right there online. Is pulling on your heart to give your life to Jesus, to let Jesus be your Savior and your Lord. You know who you are. And right now, the count of three, on a count of three, by the time I get to three, your hand should be up, because you're making this decision before God, before His holy angels, to give your life to Jesus. One. Two. Three. I need to see your hand wherever it is. If it's online, raise your hand. God sees that hand. I may not see it, but He sees that hand. I want you to pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe you died for my sin. You were buried and rose again. I confess you now with my mouth that you are Lord. Be Lord over my life. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Well, bless the Lord. Well, bless the Lord. Stay right there. Stay right there. They're going to take you and pray with you and tell you what you need to do next. You've made the biggest and the best decision that will change your life forever. You're going to be a testimony to the goodness of the Lord and to the greatness of our God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for touching this gentleman. I thank you for breaking every yoke. I thank you for the work that you are doing right now in his heart and his spirit. In Jesus' name, take him from darkness to light, from bondage to liberty, from death to life now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.